all his heavenly privileges, all his divine rights as Creator God, to come down onto the earth here to be with us and to redeem us. The Creator had to be with us, the created. He was deeply mistreated, suffered great disrespect and irreverence. We spat on God. That is incredible. He then served the Father, and he served us by dying a criminal's death on the cross. And Chris read that last week. Not only did he serve us, but he also continues to serve us today. He comforts us. He teaches us. He protects us. He still washes our feet today. He's with us in the mess and the miseries of life. And the Bible says, this is really amazing. The Bible says, Jesus prays to the Father for you every day. That's amazing. They discuss you. Jesus asks things on your behalf that you're not even aware of. Isn't that amazing? They are constantly serving us. Not only did he save us from hell, but he continues to save us this very day and serve us and saves us from our troubles and strengthens us to stand in life in the messiness of it. On the other side, generosity. The depths of his generosity is revealed in the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation means we were born into God's household. We have an inheritance. We can cry out, Abba, Father. We have a perfect Father. He loves to be with us. He longs for us. One thing I have to remind myself of often is that if I died today, I would be in heaven. I would be in heaven. If this moment finished, I'm gone. I'm with him in his loving arms. The gift of salvation means that we can know God in an intimate and personal way. Hallelujah. We can boldly enter his presence. We are justified. We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. We were given and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he became our comforter, counselor, and teacher. And so the gift of salvation, there's so much in this gift that we've been given, shows the extreme generosity of God. And Jesus is our example to follow, and his generosity and service is meant to flow on through us to others. You see, God calls us to be streams, not dams. Turn to the person next to you and say, streams, not dams. Whatever we receive from God is not only given to benefit us, but it's also given to benefit others. It has to flow through us onto other people. The love, forgiveness, mercy, grace, the gifts that we have, generosity and service that we've received from God is just meant to flow through to a broken world, to people that need to know the goodness of God. And if it isn't passed on, we're not supplying our part to the body, but also to other people. Okay, we're going over to the Mekong River. This is the longest river in Asia, over 4,300 kilometres in length. It begins in China and winds its way through Myanmar, six countries in total, Myanmar, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, and it ends in Vietnam. And the river, it's estimated, is a lifeline to 65 million people. And it's the most critical ecosystem in Asia. And in the past few decades, up where those stars are at the top of the river in China, China has built 11 dams to service the people, their own people, with hydroelectricity. And this has altered the natural flow of the river. It's lowered water levels. It's stopped valuable sediments and nutrients from flowing downstream. It's become and is becoming one of the worst environmental disasters in the modern age. And folks have lost their livelihoods from not being able to grow rice, or there being less fish to actually sell. And I'm not hacking on China here at all. They're just trying to serve their people and their growing population with electricity that they need, but it is impacting others. But this one act has then triggered the other five countries to look inward. And there's this thing they call river diplomacy now, where other countries are deciding to build dams on their part, impacting the people downstream. And it's causing huge political tensions. And the river is sometimes being used as a weapon now, creating disconnection, not connection. But so it is with us as a body. God calls us to be streams, not dams. Whatever comes from upstream from him needs to flow through our riverbanks unimpeded down to those people that need it. Like what we see in the Mekong, when we look inwards at our own needs and we don't consider the impact of others, we're building dams that impact the rest of the body and starving those downstream that need what we have. They need our giftings. And this is demonstrated in 1 Peter 4:10 to 11, and this is the memory verse today. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The thing is, you're unique, made perfectly unique by God, and you matter. That's the truth. Whatever gifts you've received from God, we have a responsibility to faithfully use those to serve others. And we read in verse 10 there, your gifts are actually an expression of God's grace and kindness. And using them allows others to taste his goodness. God didn't give us gifts to get dusty. He wants us to use them to serve the body of Christ and others. And the body of Christ is better because of your gifts and your service. And it must just flow through us unimpeded. When we look at our own interests, like what we saw with the Mekong, we create a dam. And we have no right to hoard up what God has given to us. We don't own anything anyway to dam up. We don't even own ourselves. Even the very breath we have from him, it's borrowed. Therefore, we do have a responsibility to steward the gifts that God has given us. We've got to move into what God wants and past considering our own interests. We want to be people who represent God and who are used by God as vessels of honor to his glory, to those people around us. He can't use us if we're damming up. So whatever causes dams in our lives, we have to get rid of them. Selfishness, fear, unworthiness, a lack mindset, idols, lies. We just got to get rid of them because we need to represent God, and there's people that are missing out when we dam up. In verse 11 there, we see, whatever your gift is, and with whatever you have, use it so that in all things God gets the glory. And you may sometimes think that you've got nothing to give and maybe you've got nothing to serve, but that's not true. And God made us unique, and each of us have an important role to play. Even the smallest of giftings. I used to do boxing and MMA. Sorry, I'm diverting a little bit here. And they used to study, scientists used to study, what makes people powerful punches. And so they studied all these things and they brought it down to a physiological assessment of the body, that the width of your hips determines how hard you punch, but also, this sounds funny, the size of your big toe. The big toe has an important role in your ability to generate power, because when you punch, you're pushing off, you're pushing power off your back leg, and it pivots on your big toe. So your big toe is important. You might not think your gift, and maybe you've got, you know, there's a little gift. It's important. The big toe is important. Don't underestimate what you have. But God gets the glory when your gifts are being used. And I shared this a couple of messages ago, but about 5 or 6 years ago, I was coming to this church as a consumer. And it was about what I get from God or what I get from church. And I was being a dam. I had unmet needs for connection and belonging, and I wasn't getting it. And I had this stinky aroma of selfishness just wafting up. And, you know, no wonder I wasn't getting connection. I was focused on myself. But God opened my eyes to see this selfish attitude and showed me that I was withholding myself. And in doing so, I was preventing the very thing that I wanted, connection. And so I repented. The Lord really worked with me on this one in a deep way. But he said to me, I want you to go to church to give and serve others. I don't want you to go to receive. And so I repented, and I've been coming to church for 5 years with this attitude now, an attitude of giving. But the irony is when you come to give, you end up receiving much more than you gave. I end up with a full tank giving, because as I supply my part, I'm receiving the lack in my life, I'm receiving your part, and it tops us up. And so the body functions better when we're all focused on God and each other before ourselves. And Chris mentioned this last week, great sermon if you didn't hear Chris's message last week, but there's a wrap, a warp in this age, and it's selfishness. And it's dam building, and it creates disconnection. And I think the I generation, you know, the iPhone, I 2.0, the I that sort of started coming out 20 years ago is somewhat prophetic of this era. And the focus of the world is becoming even more selfish. And we know what the word says, that in the last days, people will become lovers of themselves. The love of many will grow cold. But if we don't dam up, our testimony is the opposite to the world. We are streams of grace to a hurting world that needs Jesus. We're going to Macedonia. So today's message is about being streams of generosity and service. And one of the gold star examples is found in the church of Macedonia. Philippi was one of the more famous churches there. And it's roughly where Macedonia is today, but it's a little bit of Greece now as well. But Paul talks of them in 2 Corinthians 8. Just some context before we read it. The church was under severe persecution by Jews and Rome. These people, they were squeezed out of society and employment and into abject poverty. Mums and dads were being jailed, killed, all of this for Jesus, creating just an absolute mess. But Paul, on his missionary trips, often raised money at the time to send back to Christians in Jerusalem who were also suffering in the same way of being squeezed out of society and employment. And in 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5, and now, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the Corinthian church about them. He's having a boast. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely of their own, Paul didn't ask for it. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And They exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Verse 2, in the midst of their trial, their abject poverty, their unemployment, their jailings, their overflowing joy, and their extreme generosity welled up, extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. They gave beyond their limit. And Paul's having a brag about them. He's like, you wouldn't believe this, guys. Their generosity was so intense that they were pleading. They were pleading and begging me to take their money. If you can imagine that, all of us here, we got persecuted. We were kicked out of our jobs, our houses. And we didn't have money to buy food for our families. Yet when a traveling minister comes through, we beg him to take our last dollar to go and support others in the same spot in a different country. It's a testimony that it shows that they didn't believe that they were in lack despite suffering and abject poverty. And they knew their source. They knew the supply was God and were streams of God's grace and generosity to brothers and sisters in the same position. In verse 5 there, we read the key. They gave themselves first to the Lord, then by the will of God to us also. I'd like to clarify, it isn't just serving anywhere. It's giving yourself to the Lord and serving where He says to. Our Christian lives are about pouring ourselves out to the Lord. It's about a sweet-smelling aroma that comes off us when we are living as a living sacrifice to God. And we got to understand the link between service and authorization. If God leads or tells you to serve in a position, it's His responsibility to provide us with the means, the time, the margin, the energy, the power, and ability to do it. It's not your responsibility. And in doing that, we just witness God flowing through us, doing what He's authorized to do. And it's kind of like you're operating as a square peg in a square hole. It just fits perfectly, and it gives you energy. Serving gives you energy rather than taking it away when you're directed by God in where to serve. And I'm not an acts of love, service sort of love language person, and it used to take it out of me, and I often used to associate serving as grinding hard work that just destroys yourself down into the ground, and I don't want to serve because it depletes me. But when He directs me to serve with my giftings where He wants, it's life-giving because there's this thing called grace. And grace enables. Grace doesn't deplete. Grace energizes us. The Macedonian church knew that the source of their abundance was God. And if we keep reading through chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11, we see Paul explain this. And just for the sake of time, I've just pulled the key verses out, but please read it all in context. It's beautiful. But verse 6, remember this, a principle of life, this one. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. A lot of alls there. Means everything. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Boom. every way, every occasion. When you're a stream, you activate the abundant blessing of God so that you can be even more generous. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but that's God's heart right there. He's exceedingly, abundantly generous and gives and gives and gives. There is no end to his giving. And the scripture here encourages us to know the source. So no matter our financial position or whatever is happening in our lives, if you give, you will be enriched every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Not some occasions, not 10%, every occasion generous. And the beautiful thing is, our generosity results in thanksgiving. People give thanks to God because of what we have been generous with. And let me just say, in giving here, in generosity, we're not just referring to money. It's being generous with who you are and all that you have, money, time, serving, etc. But in verse 6, it's also a warning to us, and this is the principle of life about reaping and sowing. If you dam up, you're sowing sparingly, and that's actually what you'll get back. If you dam up, God may use someone else and overlook you. And I've experienced that before, and it's not a nice feeling when you know that God called you to do something and you didn't do it, and you see God use someone else. You miss out on being the vessel that God chose first. It's not a nice feeling. But the beautiful thing about generosity is that it's opposite to the world. Absolute opposite. And it allows others to taste his goodness. And I don't like to share what Aaron and I give because the Lord, he loves when we give it in secret. But I will share this with you. What little testimony. One morning we went to Poyer's for breakfast out at Lemon Tree Passage, and a young couple came in with four kids, and we were nearly finished our breakfast, and immediately as they walked in, I just felt the Spirit of God on this young family. And the Lord said to me, I want you to pay for their meal. And so I noticed when they ordered, and then I was like, okay, I'm going up to pay it now. And when I went up to pay, there was a man at the counter. He was a European backpacker, and he wasn't a Christian. And he was stunned. He couldn't understand why I wanted to pay for this person's meal, and it was over about $120. And he asked me three times, are you sure? Are you sure you want to pay this meal? And I just got to minister to him at that moment. I said, yes, I want to bless them. I'm a Christian, and this is what we do in this country. We want to be generous. And so I paid for it. And before leaving, I went up to the family and I said, excuse me, you looked like such a lovely family when you walked in, and I wanted to bless you with breakfast. Here's the receipt. And they looked at me like, what is going on? They were not locals. They'd come to this place for breakfast, and some weirdo was paying their breakfast, $120, and said we had a lovely family. And I just said, God bless you. Bless you. And I walked away. Even my kids were quite amazed about why did you pay for their meal? And it gave me a chance to share about just obey the Lord. Just obey him. It's not your money anyway. But what I'd learnt later from Ava, who works there, is that it was repeated amongst other staff as well. I hadn't expected it to impact so many people, but this simple act of generosity really stood out and was just counter to such a self-focused world that we're in. It gave others a glimpse of God's goodness, and part of me when I was thinking about this was wondering, the kids that got the meal, they would have been impacted too. And maybe it was a memorable point that God wanted to put in their life about giving and generosity. I'm not sure, but simple obedience, it's often best. All right. Some closing thoughts. I didn't have a prop today, so I thought I'd please Brad by putting the Hawthorne Hawks sign up there. They lost, did they? Oh, not the finals yet. I'm not inferring Jesus next to the Hawks, just so you know. I think, is he a Hawks fan? He is, okay. Glad we discovered that. The family club, okay. All right, so in closing up here today, at the heart of it, before we're serving each other, we're serving the Lord. What an incredible privilege. We don't have to serve Him. We get to serve Him and His household. We don't serve and be generous out of obligation, but we do it out of an expression of love back to God for what He's given us. He's such a good God, and we just want to give Him back what He's given us. And He doesn't want obligation or sacrifice. He just wants an attitude of loving obedience. And God also wants His children to be known for this so that others can taste and see His goodness. And it's also good for us because giving frees us from selfishness, but serving also pulls us into connection and a purpose much higher than ourselves. Hawthorne Hawks, you're on a team. Whether you want to be or not, you're on a team. They say you can't choose your family. Sorry, you're on the team with me. You're a part of the body of Christ, and you're in God's household with the rest of us. And if you think of a footy team or some sports team, each player has a specific role and an important role. And your gifts and generosity and service are required to play well, to make the team play well. And not supplying what you have is like sitting down on the footy field in the midst of the game. The team's going to suffer if you don't do your part, your little gifting on the field. And the team is better for it when we're not just on the field, but we're actually playing. And so serving shoulder to shoulder in the household of God with your giftings also creates deep connection and a sense of comradeship if you think about a sports team that you've been in. So whatever is causing your dam or causing you to sit down in the middle of the game, limiting beliefs or whatever is restricting your flow, we've got to get rid of it. Our lives, our Christian lives are marked by pouring ourselves to God. How? When He says, and without restriction. On the last point there, rest and rhythm. Truth is like a jigsaw puzzle, and it's made up of many pieces that are true. And what I've shared here today is quite a few pieces of the puzzle on generosity and serving, but due to time, I've not painted the whole picture. But there are very important few other pieces you need to look at in this puzzle to get the whole picture of serving and generosity. And that's rest and rhythm. And I've talked a lot about giving, but there's seasons where we need to rest as well. Or have a spell on the bench, back to the game analogy. And sometimes it's for God to do a deep work in us. Sometimes He wants us to focus on other things or other priorities in our lives. But both serving and having times of rest, they're both important to following Jesus well and doing what He says. But the key is just simple obedience, obeying what He says when He says. And the last point, just on boundaries as well. God wants to give you to give yourself, but it's how and where he wants us to give. We can't give ourselves to others at the expense of our responsibilities, like being a husband, a wife, a parent, a grandparent. And I've seen, sadly, in my short time, people that have destroyed their families by serving in ministry. But the truth is they served without God-given boundaries. And I just want to finish this by saying, you know, our service and generosity, we have to make sure it's firstly applied to our home as a priority. Amen.